Good morning, church. I hope you had a great week. It's freezing these days. I can't even wake up myself. Yeah. So it was just interesting to hear where Pastor Norrell was touching areas where I was supposed to be preaching about. Yeah, it's amazing. So I will still go to those areas. Yep. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. Father, I just pray that as we hear the word, let it fall on the fertile ground, not on the thorns. Father, I pray that let it grow us, let it build us to the direction where you want us to be. Father, I pray for your anointing to hear. I pray for your spirit to open our ears and our eyes to see your glory, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I will be talking about the word that's coming from the book of Nehemiah. I think most of you have heard it before. So some of it is a long story. Some of it I will summarize it. Some of it I will read it. I feel like reading the entire book because that's how interesting it is to me. So, yeah. So I will just touch base with the history of Nehemiah. So it happens in 445 BC. So Nehemiah was a cupbearer for the Persian king called, I don't know how to read it, Artaxerxes. So when Nehemiah was a cupbearer there, the cupbearer position is like a most important position where you can get access to the king, you get to talk to the king. So Nehemiah was an Israelite. He was concerned about his country because the country was in exile that time. So Nehemiah heard from his brothers because where he was working was far away from where Jerusalem was. So he happened to hear from his brothers one day that came from Judah. And they told him about what was happening in Jerusalem. And they said to Nehemiah, that was Nehemiah 1 verse 3. And they said to me, that's Nehemiah speaking, the remnant there in province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken and its gates are destroyed by fire. The message today is building the walls. So Nehemiah heard his brother telling him how the people of Jerusalem are in great trouble, the walls are broken, and the gates are destroyed by fire. So when it comes to my mind, what does the walls represent? If you do not have the walls around your house, it means that the enemy can just come and go whenever he likes. You do not have protection. So Nehemiah was so concerned. He, as soon as he heard these words, he sat down and wept and mourned for days. And he continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. So it starts with a concern. He heard the word. He got concerned. And he had to pray to God. He didn't go and tell the others to say, oh, did you hear how Jerusalem is ruined? No. He started to consult God first with prayer and fasting because he wanted to hear from God, what shall he do? So he asked God to listen to his prayers. When you go through Nehemiah 6 and 7, it shows how Nehemiah's prayer went about to God. So when you go to Nehemiah 2, it's when Nehemiah presented his story to the king because he was a cupbearer. He got an opportunity after praying to God. When he went to serve the king, he was sad on his face. And the king noticed that Nehemiah was sad and he asked, what is wrong with you today? That looks like the trouble that's coming from the heart. So Nehemiah tell the king the story of what he heard about Jerusalem, his concern. And the king said to him, what are you requesting? Nehemiah said, I pray to God of heaven. He didn't just go and say to the king whatever that was in his heart. Again, he prayed. So, and then he said to the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah to the city of my father's grave, that I may rebuild it. And the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, how long will you be gone and when will you return? So Nehemiah presented the story to the king. The king bought the story, but he wanted to know when. So the question is, we get content, we get vision, we got the burden, we get content. And when we get those vision and burden, sometimes we happen not to put time on it, because we always think, oh, God's time. Sometimes you have to put time on the visions that God has given to you. It's up to you as to how long. So the king asked, how long will you be gone for? And then he didn't, when he presented the story, he didn't tell the king how long. But to see if you state the date, you state the period, even if it doesn't happen, you know that you had a time frame. Every project in life, when you're presenting a business plan, wherever, everywhere, it needs time to, when is it going to run, when is it going to finish. So the king said when, and Nehemiah told him the time. And then the king said, so when you present the time, it gives you the opportunity to go ask God when things are not happening. So Nehemiah said, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to the governors of the province beyond the rivers, that they may let me pass through until to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple and for the wall of the city and for the house that I shall occupy. And the king granted me what I asked for the good hand of the God was upon me. So Nehemiah presented the plan to the king that he is going back to Jerusalem to build the walls. The king asked how long, Nehemiah stated. But Nehemiah thought, oh, since I presented the time, now, in order for me to come back at that period, I need to ask the king for the letter, because I will have to pass the kings beyond the rivers. Just like in life, we have the kings beyond the river. You might have heard from God the vision and all that. You pray to God and God said, yes, this is a godly vision, run with it. But remember, the kings beyond the river, they might not be able to give you the access. You might get stuck before you even get to the river because you do not have letter of access. So it is important to ask God for the letter of access and the resources in order for you to meet that deadline, because you might end up spending your years by the river because the king won't allow you to pass. So Nehemiah asked God, God, I have got this burden and I need to go build. I need resources. I need to pass through the kings. So in order for me, for the kings not to hold me captive, I need a letter to pass through there. So indeed, the king granted him those requests. So Nehemiah went, and everything was smooth because he has the letter. Obviously, he crossed all the... He had access. He went about to Jerusalem. And then I came to the governors of the province beyond the river. That is verse 9. Now the king had sent with me officers of the army and horsemen. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant heard this, it displeased them greatly that someone had come to seek the welfare of the people of Israel. Wow. It just took me to, like, each and every person here. We have a burden. We have a concern. to build the walls of God, whether it's in our family, whether it's in our finances, whether it's in our workplace, or whether it's you are concerned about the country of Australia. Each and every person here, I'm sure you are building a wall somehow or another. Maybe you might not know it, but we are all building the wall. So maybe you haven't asked the Lord for his hand, for the letters, for the access, for the resources. Maybe you haven't given the time. I just want you to think, maybe it's time to give God the time. Maybe it's time to ask for the letter of access and the resources about that vision that you are carrying. And maybe it's you want to restore your marriage. It hasn't been working. Maybe it's time, because there are kings beyond the rivers that will not give you access if you do not have a letter from God. You need the hand of God in everything that you need to do. That's why you need prayers. You need to hear from God. You need to pray with God before to say, God, grant me access. Grant me resources so I may be able to complete the vision that you have given unto me. So we hear about the Sanballat. Sanballat is the enemy, and Tobiah the Horonite. They are angry. You know, when you didn't care about your family, how it is operating, and now you're like, I want to introduce Jesus in my family. You know how the Sanballat will start acting up. So the same way, it's like the devil will not allow you. He will say, before you didn't care, now you want to lead these people to Jesus again. He's going to give you trouble. So the same way Sanballat was contesting to say, why are these people asking for the welfare of the people of Israel? Who are they? Who do they think they are? So Nehemiah went to Jerusalem, and when he got there, he didn't tell anybody about what he had in his heart. He went and inspected the wall through the night by himself. He didn't tell them the plan or anything. He went and did inspection to see what kind of work he needs to do before he present his ideas to people. Maybe most of us like to talk about it before we know what we're supposed to be doing. So sometimes it's better to look at the things and get a perspective and then know what you are going to work on and pray about it before we share it. So again, we hear about the Sanballat in verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they jeered at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? Then I replied to them, the God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion or right or claim in Jerusalem. Sanballat again, he was angry. You know how the enemy will be angry at you, at your workplace? It doesn't mean that there's always, to me, okay, most of people, they do not consider the spiritual warfare that's going on. Everything that they do, they always think that it's about the flesh or the physical. But where, as a Christian, every single day, there is a battle going on. At your workplace, there is a battle going on. At your household, there is a battle going on. Every single day, every time, there is a battle going on. So there are forces behind that will always not want whatever that you have desired, that you are concerned about, to be fulfilled. So we hear that Sanballat and Tobiah, the Ammonite, were angry and they were rebelling and they were saying, what is this thing? Then, you know what Nehemiah's response was? You do not have portion over Jerusalem. Sometimes that is what you need, not sometimes, all the time. That is what we need. You need to put our foot on the ground and said, devil, you do not have portion over my family. You do not have portion over my workplace. This is the place of God. This is Jerusalem. I will not want you here. So, verse chapter 4. So now, when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged and jeered at the Jews. Now, Nehemiah started building the walls with the people. He presented his vision to the people, and the people were in because they heard that God's hand was upon them. They started building the wall. And Sanballat got angry, and he said in the presence of his brothers and the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and bend ones at that?" Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall." You know how the enemy likes to mock and ridicule whatever calling you have for God. When you try to stand up for God's work, when you try to build, he will ridicule you. You will hear some sorts of comments coming up saying, "Who do you think you are? Do you think this is still happening? You must be crazy. This is 2016 and you're still holding on to things that happened long time ago. Why are we still practicing this? We're no longer doing this anymore. So this is the norm today. Why are you still saying that? That was the Old Testament." So when you're trying to stand for the truth and for God, you are going to be ridiculed. There are people that will get angry. There are people that will get offended. So why? Why are you trying to stand for these things? Because the enemy is busy. The enemy is busy stealing. He doesn't want people to be restored back to God. He doesn't want you to be having a relationship with God. So he doesn't want to see families. He doesn't want to see people united. He doesn't want to see success. He doesn't want to see joy, peace. So his intention is to steal them. So he's going to get angry if you're saying, "No, this is not, I'm not going to allow this on my children. We're not going to watch this on TV. We're not going to participate in that." He will be angry and he will ridicule you. So, and he will even get friends of friends to join in to ridicule you. So all the town will be talking about you at that moment. So Nehemiah prayed to God. He responded again, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own head and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders." So Nehemiah noticed something. He noticed that he was fighting against flesh and blood. So he had to pray aggressively. He was praying against flesh and blood. He was praying against the... he knew that he's not fighting against flesh and blood. He's praying against the spirits, the demonic forces and the evil spirits. That's why he had to pray this aggressive prayer. Sometimes you will have to. You will have to stand and say, "No, Lord, intervene." You will have to submit names to God to say, "God, intervene in this situation. Pass your judgment upon this situation." That doesn't mean you're saying someone must die. You're fighting the spirit behind the situation. So we know that we have to love our neighbors. We need to pray for them for salvation. But we need to rebuke the spirit behind it. So we are fighting with the spirits, not with a person. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. When you have a mind to work, whatever opposition you get, you will still go on it. You will still proceed. So, but when Sanballat again, he always pops up. He doesn't get tired. So when he heard that they're repairing, Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs and the Ammonites and You know the Ammonites, they were always opposing throughout the Bible. So they heard that the war was going forward and the bridges were beginning to be closed. They were very angry again. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem to cause confusion in it. Confusion. Most of the time when you are trying to build the wall, there's always confusion, there's always strife. So I just want to encourage you, like if you are having a burden, you're having a vision, just note of those things that happens. Like you will find why is there strife? When you have strife, know that the enemy is trying to distract you, is trying to put a stop on whatever that's going on. So, and they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem to cause confusion. They wanted to attack, to fight, and they prayed to their God. Nehemiah prayed along with the Israelites, and they set a guard of protection against them day and night. When you're praying day and night about the situation, about the enemy, even when the enemy says he's going to fight you, your battleground is the prayer room. It's when you're on your knees. You don't, not specifically that you have to be on your knees for your prayers to be heard. You can pray anytime, anywhere, but the fact of the matter is prayer is the only, is the weapon that is much more effective to fight the enemy. Because we're not going to get the sword and you're saying you're going to go cut your boss or whoever, because that is the physical fight. Or you're going to tell your boss that's what's on your mind, your peace of mind. That's not going to help the situation. You need to go and pray to God about the situation. Submit your boss to God and say, God, pass your judgment over my workplace. My boss is giving me trouble. God knows how to execute his judgment. You are not to go to fight, to say, yo, I will see you after work. I will show you who I am. No, that's not the way we fight. So, in Judah, it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. See what happens. The enemy is using different strategy, but he hasn't been winning. Now he's attacking the same group, like in the church. You will hear the rabbles. You will hear people talking. So he's trying to cause a division here. People are saying we are getting tired. You know, when there are people that, when they hear the enemy threatening, they get discouraged so quickly. So even in our church group, there's also such situation where when the enemy attacks, we like, oh no, maybe we shouldn't do that. Oh, maybe we start talking about each other. We start getting divided. We start getting offended. We start just the talks. Because that's another strategy that the enemy uses in order to divide people, in order to stop them from continuing with the work. So, and our enemy said, They will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. So at that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, you must return to us. Hey, these people are Jews. They are Jews like the rest of them that are building, but they live near the enemy. There's people that are still in the church, but they live near the enemy. So that's how the discouragement gets in. All the rabble gets in, because they are still, we can't be Christian, but the level of where we are, it's different. There are people that still come to church, but they still live near the enemy. And that people will still bring all the junk that the enemy is feeding them. Obviously, when the enemy is feeding the people that live near the Jews, live near them with fear, intimidation, those people will bring it to church to say, oh, you didn't hear. You didn't hear what they're going to do to us. Oh, they're causing that rubble and panic and all those things. But and they want you to stop. They will say, no, maybe we should stop this. Maybe we shouldn't continue with that. Maybe it's just two people in that church. I'm no longer going. Maybe we should stop attending. It's downtown anyway. We can't pray. No, there's no people. It doesn't work like that. We still come here. When you got mind to work, whether there's two people, you still come. You still come to church. It doesn't matter. You remain standing. You still say, I serve God no matter what. Whether there is one person or two person, I will come to church. It doesn't matter. The number of people don't matter because God doesn't go away. He's always here no matter how many people are in the church. So, in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open places, I station the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Nehemiah had to devise the strategy. You know, when you start getting rubble in the church, in your home, you need to come up with strategy. So, your strategy developing a strategy is crucial, because if you don't, you'll end up overwhelmed by life's problem in an increasing hostile and hyper-competitive environment. You may find yourself going after the wrong enemy. You might not figure out where things went wrong. You may end up wasting energy and time going around the circle. Yes, you heard from God. Yes, the hand of God is upon you. You got letters, you got resources. But for the world to be built, for your vision to be seen manifesting in the physical, you need to have a strategy. You hear the sun ballads. You pass the enemies. You got access beyond the rivers. And you got the resources. But that doesn't guarantee that the wall will be built. You still have the opposition. So the opposition is trying with all the strategies to make sure that the wall doesn't get built. So you need to devise a strategy here to fight the opposition. So if you don't, you will end up depressed, frustrated. You will have suicidal tendencies. It happens even when you're coming to church. It doesn't guarantee you coming to church that you won't, because if you do not have a strategy to fight the opposition, you end up going around circles. When you're going around circles, you feel like you're stagnant. You end up being depressed. You end up in debt. You feel defeated, discouraged, feeling like a failure. So strategy will help you see the focus where you need to fight. So because most of us are fighting the wrong enemies. We don't know who we are fighting. We are focusing on the other things. So, Nehemiah on verse 14 says, and I looked and arose and said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your homes. So, fear. When you start fearing, you are saying you're doubting God's power. It doesn't mean that fear will not come. Fear comes to each and every person, but it's up to us how we react to it. God gave you the word that He is with you no matter what. You just have to hold on to that word and continue fighting. If God said, I am giving you this vision and my hand is upon you, that doesn't mean you should just sit and do nothing. Because I've realized what I'm talking about is from my own experience. Like, I used to think that I just pray to God. God said, if you pray and believe that you receive, you have received. And then I'm like, okay, good. And then I just relax. I'm not going to pray about it anymore because I have prayed about it before. I didn't know that I have to pray until and fight until I see it manifesting in the physical. Because I didn't know that there are sun ballads out there. I need to get letters of access. I need to get resources. And then I knew about getting resources and letter of access. Then I got the letter of access. I got the resources. But then I didn't know about the opposition. Sanballat. To me, I was like, oh, it's not God's time. You know how we go around it saying, oh, it's not God's time. But no, it might not be God's time, but maybe you don't know if it's not God's time, or maybe the Sanballat holding whatever, opposing you. So you need to continue fighting, not sit around and say, oh, I've prayed. We only pray once. Why do we have to repeat it over and over? It doesn't work like that. You need to repeat it and rebuke the devil and report him to God. So you will have to do that over and over until you see what you want. Even if you see it, you still go on and fight. So Nehemiah said to people, do not be afraid. Fight for your wives. Fight for your children. Fight for your husbands. Fight for your families. Sanballat will always be there, no matter what. God won't take away the Sanballat. Remember the children of Israel? God said, I'm giving you Canaan. My hand is upon you. But look at how they have to fight throughout all their lives. They come, they win one fight, they have to go to another fight. That is life. You will always get opposition. And it's up to you. God has given you choice. He won't come and kick your enemy out if you don't do it. If you don't report your enemies to God, God won't intervene. So you need to talk to God. For all, I know people always say, oh, it doesn't matter. You always see things like they are always spiritual. Yes, they are. To tell you the truth, everything is. So even all those things that you think doesn't matter, it matters. It's a spiritual battle. You need to attack it as spiritual. And you need to get aggressive. When you see the enemy, you must know that this is war. This is not a kind party. It's a war. You need to fight to protect your families. You need to fight to protect your countries. You need to fight to instill those religious views in school. If they are saying they are taking it out, it's a war. You report them to God to move them away. So most of us will be like, oh, Jesus said, love our enemies. Yes, we love them, but the spirit behind it, we don't love it. We need to kick it out. So they devised a strategy. He divided them with clans. And when the enemy heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plans, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants stored your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That is the strategy. You build, you still go to work, you still carry your vision, but you still have to have pray all the time to God. You still have to have faith. You still need to read your word. That is the strategy. That's how you're going to fight the enemy and win. That's how you're going to fight for your children, your wife, your homes, your career, your godly vision. Because we are all building the walls. Remember, they said that these walls had different gates. So you might be building a different gate than me, than Anita, than Narelle. So each of us are building, but different gates. So it's up to you to use your one hand to build and one hand to fight. That's the only way that you're going to see the wall completed, that you're going to see the gates, that you're going to protect your godly vision, protect your family, protect your community and everything on it. So prayer, we've been talking about prayer lately so much that we need more warriors. We've got a prayer on Friday here for the ladies. Mostly it starts at 10, where we pray for our country, where we pray for different countries. Everything that we feel that God is putting in our hearts to pray for, because we are saying, no, we're not just going to have a vision and sit. We're going to pray, we're going to fight to see that vision come to pass. Yes, you have things in your heart that you want to accomplish, but it's just not going to fall. It's not just going to happen. You need to stand and fight. You need to hold your sword and build. That's the only way. You need to come up with a strategy to eliminate the sun, to be victorious, not because they're always going to be there. They will. Sanballat will always use different. When you become victorious over them, they will use different doors to access you. But remember, Nehemiah said his strategy. When he divided the men, half of them were watching, half of them were building. So it is also crucial for us to watch. You pray and watch so that you know where you are focusing. Because sometimes you will think that I'm concentrating on that enemy, but that's not the enemy. The enemy is this one. So watching, when you watch, you are able to know which direction you are headed to. You are able to hear from God, what are you supposed to pray for? Because sometimes you will just grabbing there and there. Because most of the time, to tell you the truth, I've realized that being jack of all trades doesn't help. I've tried that. Like, you need to focus on the area, one area, and get victory. Because you'll end up be overwhelmed. There's sometimes when you're like, yes, I want to build the wall, but I cannot build all the gates at the same time. You need to, like, tackle. Sometimes you need to figure out which gate is much more important to restore. Because you are only you're one person. So in order for you to not get confused and not to be able to figure out where things went wrong, you need to focus first on which gate is important. And ask God for the direction where you're going. And he will show you. He will indeed show you. And you will know because you are praying about that thing. So obviously when you start getting answers, you know that is what I'm praying about. Because sometimes when you're praying about 100 things at the same time, not that God cannot meet 100 things, but because we are human, we get confused, we get overwhelmed. So it's better to focus on one gate And when I see that this gate, because you'll find that most of the gates are just being held up by this one gate here. These other gates are not really are not really that much of a problem. But there's this one gate that is that needs to be restored. And once this one gate is restored, it will restore every other thing. So there, here we go. We start by identifying which gate we need to restore and focus on that gate. And God will direct you as to what extent you need to pray. So once you have prayed, he will show you visions. He will talk to you in a small, still voice about that gate. And when you know, he will show you when you have defeated the enemy, you will know. Things will start manifesting in the physical. Then you know that you have indeed. You will first see it in the spirit, and then you will see it in the physical. Then you tackle another gate. Like that, like that, like that, until... But it never stops. It's a war that's going on day and night. So, I hope you got something from it. And, yes, prayer is the only key that a person can live with. It's the only key, and prayer in a spirit, not an empty prayer, because sometimes you come with fancy words and you find that it's not exactly, it's not moving anything. A prayer that is full of the Spirit of God can move. It's a sword that is sharper than any other thing. It can move mountains. So I'm challenging you, like, every time. I don't know if what time you've got, but you need to make time, because I believe that if it's important to us, you're going to make time. It doesn't have to be long, or it doesn't have to be fancy. Just talking to God to say, like normal, God, I don't know what to do. I need direction. God, this is happening. It's not like he doesn't know what is happening in your life. He knows. But he wants you to tell him what you want. Remember the blind man that asked Jesus, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, what mercy? Because there's so many mercies that you need. You need to choose, what mercy do you need? So you need to state, what is it that you want to God through prayers? Who is bothering you? He knows that there's so many people bothering you. Maybe you're fine with it. That's why you're keeping it like that. So you need to tell to him, Lord, whoever is bothering me, I pray that you let your will be done. My workplace, they want to put this and this and this in place. I do not support it because I know that this is not what you want. So, Lord, intervene. So, if we start doing that, we'll see more changes. If we start praying more, we'll see more changes. I just want to challenge you, like, there's so many times when people around the world needs prayer. So you might not know who needs prayer, but if you feel the Spirit prompting you to pray, just pray. Whichever hour, maybe you just woke up and feel like you've got a burden to pray, don't brush it off. Or maybe, as Pastor Narelle said, maybe you just saw somebody's face. Don't just say, oh, maybe I need to have coffee with them. Yes, maybe you need to have coffee with them, but prayer first. Maybe they need prayer. So God's Spirit always moves in them in a different way. So whenever you think of someone, pray for them. Pray for all those situations that they don't just appear out of nowhere. There's always a reason for that. So I hope you got something, and let's keep praying. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. We thank you for your impartation. I thank you that as you guide us to pray, Father, we're going to see miracles, Lord. We're going to see a restoration. Father, we are all the builders of the wall. Lord, you gave us the vision. Your word said the vision might tarry, but it will come to pass. Father, you've given us visions that we were deceived by the enemy to say it's not the time. But that was a lie, because you have given us answers. And maybe the sand ballads have stolen it away from us. Father, I pray that as we come again to you, submitting our plans, submitting the enemy to you, Lord, Father, I pray that you execute your judgment. I pray that you restore us
all the years that the enemy has stolen from us, Lord. I pray that you give us resources. You give us access to the kings beyond the rivers. Father, I pray that you move leaders in authority that needs to be moved away in order for the Christians to move in and take your direction, your country to the next direction. Father, as I think of the election that happened yesterday, Father, I say, Lord, let it be a leader that you have elected, a leader that will take this country to another level. Father, help us build your wall in a different way. Help us build our families, Lord. Father, for those who are overwhelmed, who have tried this prayer thing and they think it doesn't work, Father, I pray that let them try the strategy of building one gate at a time and see how you move. Father, I pray for your angelic reinforcement right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray over our week as we go through whatever things that we do, as we get busy, Lord. Father, let us remember that it is spiritual battle. There is a spiritual battle going on, and we need to pray. We need to submit everything to you, Lord, so you can take care of it. Father God, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.